There are many things in life that we view as absolute necessities. And for many people, those things differ. For some people, it's basic food and water. For other people, it's a comfortable bed. For other people, maybe it's air conditioning. And maybe for other people, it's a chocolate bar. That there are certain things that people say, I cannot live without this. But one thing that is objectively something that you cannot live without is water. In my little Google search, I was Googling how many days can one live without water. And while they won't give you an exact number of at exactly 72 hours your body begins to shut down, there is a consensus between everyone that you really cannot last for very long without water. Yes, if you're eating, you can supplement it with certain fruits, but that will only take you so far. You need pure water in order to help all of the other functions in your body to be able to function properly. So your cells cannot excrete the waste that they have to get rid of without water. The nutrients cannot be brought to the places where they need to be in their body if you don't have proper water, which is hydrating your body. So water is extremely, extremely vital to existence. And yet, in this week's Parsha, water disappears. It says in Bamidbar Parakhof, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'ida midbar tzin b'chodesh harishon v'yishev ha'am b'kadish. B'nai Israel have been traveling. They settle in Midbar Tzin in the first month. Vayishav ha'am b'Kadish. They settle in Kadish. Vatamat sham Miriam, and Miriam dies there. Vatikaver sham, and she is buried there. And then in the very next pasuk, v'lo hayamayim la'ida. The congregation, the people of Israel, did not have water. Vayikhalu al Moshe al Aaron. And they gathered upon Moshe and Aaron. And the Mefarshim comment here that this was one of, if not the only place, in which B'nai Yisrael complained and they were justified. Then the Mefarshim say they really did not have any water. It's not like when they complained about the slav, that what they had was not to their taste. They very much recognized the scary reality, terrifying, some may say, that they were in the middle of the desert and they had no water. That is a very big problem because, as we said, they cannot live for even a number of days without water. Why was this particularly terrifying to this group of people? Because it is said that we are now after the 40 years in the desert. That this is the generation that now watched the entire previous generation that had been at the sin of the Meraglim. They had watched them all die out, one by one by one, knowing that ultimately, everyone from that generation must die before they would be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So they have made it through the 40 years of the entire generation dying. They are finally outside Eretz Yisrael. All that is standing in their way between where they are right now and entering into Eretz Yisrael is the world's longest rabbi's drasha. Is Moshe's goodbye speech that takes up the entire Sefer Devarim. That is all that stands in the way between them entering into Eretz Yisrael. And it is at that moment that they no longer have water. And they say, hey, wait, we don't think we're going in that soon. We definitely need water in order to survive the rest of our time in the desert. So what happened here? Why all of a sudden did they lose water? And Rashi comments here and says, "V'lo hayamayim la'ida." There was no water for the congregation. Mikan shekor ba'im shana hayalahem habe'er b'schut Miriam. From here we learn that for the entire 40 years when they had been in the desert, why did they have water to begin with? It was in the schut of Miriam. Rashi here is quoting from the Gemara in Tanis. And the Gemara in Tanis gives us insight into some of the other things that B'nai Israel had while they were in the desert. Meitve Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shlosha parnasim tovim amdu li Yisrael. There were three great benefactors for Am Yisrael. Elohim, Moshe, Ve'aron, Umeriam. Who were they? They were Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. V'shalosh matanot tovot nitznu al yadam. Bnei Yisrael received three great presents in their merit. V'eluhin, be'er, v'anan, v'man. The well, the cloud that acted as their protection, v'man, and the miraculous food that would fall down from heaven each morning. Be'er b'schot Miriam, the well was in the schot, in the merit of Miriam. Amud anan b'schot Aaron, the pillar of clouds was in the merit of Aaron. V'man b'schot Moshe, and the man, the miraculous food, was in the merit of Moshe. Mita Miriam nisalik ha-be'er, from the moment that Miriam died, the be'er, the well, disappeared. Shnei amar v'tamasha Miriam uchtiv batrei lo hayamayim le'ida v'chazara b'schot shneiha. So, how do we know this to be true? Because Miriam, it says as soon as Miriam died, the well disappeared, and it was only then in the schos of Moshe and Aaron, only the two of them were able to bring it back. So Rashi is introducing us to this idea that there is this connection between Miriam and the well, that it is in Miriam's chus, in her merit, that they have water. Something interesting to note here that I want us to kind of stick in the side of our minds is that this is a very strange way for zechuyot to work. Think about it this way. If I'm going to make a donation, and I want to make a donation in the merit of somebody, I would choose an organization, I would choose a tzedakah, and I would donate to them, and I would write on the dedication, in the merit of so-and-so. Great. Or you could say, why are we able to be so prosperous today in the family business? In the merit of our ancestors who started up such a successful business. You wouldn't say that, oh, I want to make a donation in the schus of somebody, in somebody's merit, so let me give them the money. You don't give it to them. You give it to someone else because of them. So very interesting here. It seems somewhat odd that the be'er, the well, is in the schus of Miriam. It is given to us in the merit of Miriam, but yet, the moment she disappears, it disappears as well, making it seem like it was a gift for her, not from her to the people. That, theoretically, if it was really just in the schus of Miriam, there should be no problem with it sticking around after Miriam dies. That there should be no problem in us maintaining something that we have in the schus of somebody else long after they have passed on, because it's not really about them. It's just in their merit. It's not given to them, and it isn't really contingent on them. So I want us to just put that in the side of our minds for a minute. So what's going on here? We're taking it at face value that the Gemara tells us, Rashi quotes it, that the Be'er was in the schus of Miriam. Why is that? The Rabbeinu Bachya and the Da'at Zakenim both bring us insight into a certain event that led to Miriam having these specific zechuyot. Rabbeinu Bachya says, "V'lo hayamayim la'ita, kishemita Miriam nisalik ha-be'er." From the moment that Miriam died, the be'er, the well, disappeared. "Ki hayah ha-be'er b'schot Miriam," because the well was in the schus of Miriam. Excuse me. Because she had the merit of the water from Moshe, Shenamar, and his sister stood from afar. What story is this referencing? I want to skip ahead two sources to Shmuel Parak Bet. This is the story of Miriam with the water, our original story. It says in the beginning of Parak Bet in Shemot that a man from the house of Levi went and took a woman from the house of Levi. Vatahar ha'isha vatilad ben, vatera oto ki tov, vatitzbineu shul shayirachim. They became pregnant, she gave birth to a child, she saw the son, and she saw that he was good, and she hid him for 3 months. V'lo yachla od lahatzbino. She was no longer able to hide him. Vatikach lo teva goma. And she took for him a little boat that was covered and waterproofed with tar. Vatach mirah b'chemer v'bazafet v'tasem ba'teyeled v'tisem b'sof. She puts this boy into this sort of waterproof teva. She puts it into the Nile, and she puts it into the reeds at the side of the river. But Miriam did not just drop him off and leave. Rather, Miriam wanted to make sure that that all worked out for him. The daughter of Paro goes down to the Nile in order to bathe there. When Ba Paro is down in the Nile and she is bathing, she sees that there is a baby floating in this little boat, and she sends out her arm, or she sends out her servant, and she takes this basket. She opens up the teva because she hears crying, and she sees that this is a Jewish baby boy. Should I run and get you a wet nurse? Miriam comes and jumps into action. She has clearly been waiting there the entire time to see what could happen. And she says, should I go get you a wet nurse that can nurse this baby? She says, go call the wife, call the mother of this baby, that she should be able to come and nurse this baby. So that is Miriam's introduction to the water, that Miriam is the one who stood at the side of the water. And as Rabbeinu Bachya says, this brought her schut hamayim, the merit of the water. The Rabbeinu Bachya continues and says, Ve'amru b'midrash, az yashir Yisrael et hashira hazo, shira zo ne'emra b'sof arba'im shana, v'habe'er natama mitzchilat arba'im. The Rabbeinu Bachya says something very interesting. In the end of this week's parsha, after Bnei Israel's encounter with Ammon, then Moab, then Sichon and Og, so we are immediately following their encounter with Moab, Bnei Israel sing a Shira. Why did they do that? Because they were currently preparing, they were prepared for battle because they knew that all of the enemy nations surrounded Eretz Israel. And they see that the well is filled with bloodied water. What does this make them realize? This makes them realize that Hashem defended them from an encounter with Moab, that they see the blood of Moab going through their well, and they recognize that they were just saved from something miraculous. And therefore, they sing Shira. And this is known as the second Shira at Hayam. However, Rabbeinu Bachya is commenting and saying, note where it is placed. Bnei Israel did not receive the the Be'er and immediately thank Hashem for it, immediately sing Shira. No. Rather, Bnei Israel received the well. They lived with it for 40 years. It disappeared, was brought back, and only then did they sing Shira to Hashem about it. So Rabbeinu Bach is bringing us two important points. He's bringing us, why is Miriam connected to the water? Because she has the schut mayim. Why though? Then the second part that Rabbeinu Bachya is teaching us is that Rabbeinu Bachya is teaching us that this seems to be an underappreciated resource. That they did not understand just how miraculous it was to have a fresh well of water while they were in the desert. Only after 40 years did they sing Shira about the Be'er. The Siftei Chachamim also adds, "Habe'er b'schot Miriam, sha'rei miyad kishemita Miriam, lo ayelahem od mayim." The Tzikinim says, "From the moment that Miriam died, they no longer had water." Ve'im tomar lama lo haya be'er b'schot Aaron or Moshe. If you were to ask, why was the be'er not given in the schos of Moshe or Aaron? Ve'yesh lomar b'schot shehim tina leMoshe al ha'mayim l'ro'ot mayaselo kishaholeich b'teva. Because Miriam had this special schut, because she was the one who waited at the banks of the river to make sure that Moshe was okay. L'chein na'aseh la schut zo shel ha-be'er d'haynu mayim shenatana kadosh baruch hu mayim la'idah b'shvila. So because of that, Miriam was worthy of such great, zechuyot, that she made sure that Moshe would be saved from the water, that the water in turn would be given in her merit. So we talked about the first instance of Miriam with the water, that this was when she watched Moshe on the sides of the river. And a second one is that Miriam is the very person who sings Shirat Hayam and leads the women in it. That Miriam is the one who was prepared with the tupim umucholo, with the tambourines and timbrels, and she was out there ready to lead the women in song immediately when they crossed over the Yamsuf. Vatikach Miriam hanaviya achot Aaron et hatof biyada, vatitena kolan hashem acharaha betupim ubimcholo. Vata'am lahem Miriam, shiru lashem ki ga'u ga'a, sus v'rachvo ramah bayam. Miriam was right there alongside Moshe and Aaron. She was the one that was going to lead these women in song, thanking the water. She had a tremendous amount of gratitude to water, and the clearly it played an important role in her life, that she was constantly being surrounded by situations that had to do with water. But what I want to ask now is, what is the importance between the connection between Miriam and water? Like, great. Because of Miriam, we had water in the desert. But Hashem does everything in a very purposeful way. And he could have made it that the man was in the schus of Miriam and the water was in the schus of Moshe, because in Mayim Ella Torah, Mayim is comparable to Torah, and therefore Moshe was the teacher of Torah. But Hashem did it. Hashem made it that the man was in the schus of Moshe, the cloud was in the schus of Aaron, and specifically the well and the water was in the schus of Miriam. And the question that I want to ask is, what was that connection between Miriam and water? And what was so important about it? I want to open it up, actually. Does anyone have any suggestions as to why the water would be in the schus of Miriam? Okay, I'll tell you. So if you're sitting here saying, wait, didn't we talk about this a number of parshiot ago? Didn't we talk about this when we were learning Parshat Shmot? We talked about Miriam in the water and just keep swimming, that Miriam's mida was being able to continue and continue, keep everyone going, keep them growing, keep them turning, just keep everything going and going and going. But this is one of those instances where we now have the opportunity to look at the relationship backwards and forwards. Now, the last time we talked about it, we were at the very beginning, Miriam's first interaction with water. And now we are here, right after her life, when we see that her connection to water was so developed that the minute that she dies, the water disappears. That there seems to be this super strong connection. I want to try to understand what that is. So, what is this? And the way we're going to understand it this time is going to be different from the way we understood it at the beginning of the relationship. That at the beginning of the relationship, we were looking at it one way. That was when we had only seen her stand at the side of the Nile and watch over Moshe. But now we have a very different perspective. We see the other interactions that she had with water throughout her life, and we are able to understand more of the full picture. And to try to understand this full picture, I want to look at the Gemara and Tanis, and I think this is going to give us another approach to Miriam's connection to water that I think connects to the one that we developed in Parshat Shmot, but gives us a very new insight that is applicable for this point in Miriam, in right after Miriam's passing, this point in Bnei Yisrael's existence, and at this point in our lives. So the Gemara and Tanis says, "My hi d'tanya." There is a debate, from when should we mention the Geshamim? What does this mean? From what point should we say Mashiv HaRachu Morid HaGashem in the Tefillah? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Misha'at Nitzilat Lulav, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Misha'at Hanachatel. So we have two opinions here. We have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you should ask Hashem for rain from the moment that you pick up the lulav. So what does that mean? From the first day of Sukkot. So on the first day of Sukkot, we should begin with Tefillat Geshem as well, and asking Hashem for rain. However, Rabbi Yehoshua comes along and says, Mishat Hanachato, from the moment that we rest our Arba Minim, which technically means on Shmini Atzeret, which we know we do Lahalacha, but that is when we should begin to mention the Gishamim, the rain. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Ho'il Ve'arba'at Minin Halalu. So Rabbi Eliezer comes along to defend his idea. Ina ba'in ela l'ratzot al hamayim, u'kishim she'arba minin halalu, e efshar behem below mayim, kach e efshar le'olam below mayim. So Rabbi Eliezer says something very fascinating. Rabbi Eliezer says, we look at these arba minim, at these four species, and none of them could exist without mayim. What does that mean? E'ef shar bahem below mayim. They could not grow. They could not exist without mayim. E'ef shar la'olam bili mayim. So Rabbi Eliezer makes this connection and he says, just like the arba minim, who would not be able to exist without the existence of water, so too the entire world is reliant upon water. Now, what is so fascinating about what Rabbi Eliezer is saying? When we think of the Arba Minim, Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravot, I don't know about you, but I don't think anything about water. I just think about the Arba Minim. Nobody says you need to water your Arba Minim. Nobody says that water is even at all an integral component in the mitzvah of Arba Minim. If you don't have water, you are still perfectly Yotzei. You have still fulfilled the mitzvah of Arba Minim because it has nothing to do with water. So the message that I think Rabbi Eliezer is teaching us here is that water is that subtle force that's everywhere. No recipe will have water as the main ingredient unless you're making ice. But without water, 95% of recipes will not work. Think of baking a cake. You would never call a cake a water cake. But if you don't put water in your cake, it might not work. You can't leave it out, but it's also not the main ingredient. And what I would like to say is that this perfectly describes Miriam Hanaviah. Miriam was an absolutely integral member of society in Am Yisrael. Without Miriam, Moshe would not have survived. We wouldn't have had our leader Moshe. Who knows what would have been with Aaron? Miriam is not a central star of the show. She isn't. She's very much a supporting character. But the message of Rabbi Eliezer says you can't bring the Arba Minim without also asking for rain. Because if you pause and think about it for a minute, you would have no Arba Minim to bring if it wasn't for the water. And I think the same is true with Miriam. You might say there's a hierarchy here of who's the most important. Moshe is the most important, then Aaron because he's the Kohen Gadol, and then Miriam's just their sister. But I think the fact that the Mefarshim bring up specifically that the Be'er was in the Schus Hamayim Shel Miriam, that if we rewind all the way back to the beginning of this story, there is Miriam making sure that this story can even come about. That she is guarding over his brother Moshe to make sure that nothing bad happens. She is the one that is sustaining life. Miriam is there consistently throughout the Torah. She comes up in stories, but very subtly. Because Miriam is not the feature character. Rather, Miriam is very much in the background, but without her, nothing else would exist. One of the Mefarshim, and I apologize that it is slipping my mind, one of the Mefarshim says that the fact that the water disappeared here, as we mentioned before, that seems strange. If the water is in the schus of Miriam, you would think that it should still exist after she dies because it's in her merit. It's not for her, so it's irrelevant whether or not she's there or not because it's not for her, it's because of her. But one of the Mefarshim says that the Be'er did not disappear because Miriam had died. It's not like the moment she passed away, a ticker ticked, and all of a sudden the time of Bnei Yisrael having water was done. Rather, it was a punishment for Bnei Yisrael Why was that? Because when it says that Miriam dies, it says Vatama Miriam Vatikaber, that Miriam died and she was buried. What it is missing is the Vayichlu, and they cried. When Aaron dies later in this week's parsha, it uses that language. When Moshe dies, it uses that language. But by Miriam, the people did not mourn her appropriately. And therefore, they lost the water so that they would mourn Miriam appropriately. And I think that this gives us even more insight into what Miriam's role is. That they didn't mourn because she had never been in the center stage. But the moment Miriam disappeared, their one and only lifeline completely disappeared. That often we don't realize the things that are most important in our life until they disappear. And that was true with Miriam. That what does Miriam have to do with water? She is a sustainer of life. And like we talked about many parshiot ago, Miriam's core mita was that she got everyone to continue going. She was always pushing forward. She was always pushing people to continue. And the subtle difference in the point that we're making here is that when we are looking back at Miriam in retrospect, it's not just that she keeps going and never stops. She is not simply an energizer bunny. Rather, what is so important about Miriam is that she is a sustainer. She's like water. It doesn't seem as miraculous as man falling from the sky, and it definitely does not seem as miraculous as the Anenei HaKavod, as the protective clouds. But without water, that's when Bnei Israel had their first valid complaint. They didn't have the most basic necessity that they needed for life. So why would Hashem take it away? If Miriam is represented by water, we understand why it was in her schus. But then why did they have to lose it? We could say that's beautiful. Because of Miriam, because of the schus mayim, they had water whenever they needed it. So why take it away? And why take it away at this junction? Bnei Israel, when they were in the desert, lived in a very interesting way with each other and in their relationship with Hashem. Everything they needed was provided directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They could see and feel Hashem tangibly in their lives every single moment of every single day. They woke up in the morning and they had food for breakfast that Hashem had dropped down for them from heaven. There's nothing like that. They literally felt Hashem in their midst. And then, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they know that it is going to be different. They have, and we hear throughout Sefer Devarim, their fear and hesitation over the difference in their relationship and how this transition will happen. When they enter into Eretz Yisrael, they are going to enter into a new realm, which is much more similar to how we live today, in which we know Hashem is in our life, we believe Hashem is in our life, but there is not the same tangible feeling of being able to feel Hashem with you there, sustaining you every single moment. And Hashem wanted to alert Bnei Israel to this. So how did he do that? He had to take away some of these miraculous ways that he had been caring for Bnei Israel while they were in the desert. So when Miriam dies, he took away Miriam. And with the hope that they now realize that Miriam is gone, they recognize that their leaders are beginning to change. And therefore, they recognize that the time period they are going to go into is going to be different, and they can prepare themselves accordingly. However, they didn't take note. Once it was only Miriam who died, they didn't appreciate Miriam. We said they didn't mourn her properly. They didn't think about how different it would be for Am Yisrael without Miriam HaNeviah, because they didn't completely understand the role she had played, because the role of water is so subtle. You think of so many more things in the world as more important because you don't think about the fact that you're without water, your cells, every single cell in your body will not swell and contract properly. You don't think about that. If someone says, what is the greatest way of saving life? You would say an AED machine. You would say antibiotics. You would say different life-saving medications. Very few people would say the key to all healing and health in the world is water. Because it's too subtle. Bnei Israel didn't realize it. So then Hashem said, I'm going to take it one step further. Not only is Miriam going to disappear, but the water that you have in her schus, that is going to disappear as well. And that will wake you up, hopefully. That will make you realize and think about how different life is going to be once we enter into Eretz Yisrael. Again, sometimes you do not appreciate what it is that you have until it's gone. And Hashem is sending this lesson to Am Yisrael and saying life is going to be different. You need to recognize what it is that you are not going to have. And one of those important things is Miriam HaNeviah. You're not going to have Miriam, who is this subtle sustainer of Am Yisrael that's been there since the beginning and sustained them throughout. That you have to recognize what it is that you are going to be missing. B'nai Yisrael are going to have to recognize the changes that are going to happen in order to properly adjust to those changes. And that is the message that Hashem is sending to B'nai Yisrael at this junction. I am going to take away the water first. Not the man first, not the Ananei HaKavod first. Because the water is the most subtle. And I need you to realize, down to the most subtle level, what these changes are going to be and how they are going to affect your life. So what can we learn from this relationship between Miriam and water? That water is the sustainer, and so too Miriam was the sustainer. And sometimes it's easy to look at the bigger things in life, to look past these small things that carry through your life and improve your life on a daily basis. We don't think about the things in our body that work perfectly until chas v'shalom may go wrong. So this lesson of Miriam is she was the one who was there. She didn't jump in and save Moshe from the Nile. Rather, she was the one who stood on the side and she protected him. And it was in that tzchus, that very subtle action, that B'nai Yisrael was sustained for 40 years in the desert. And it is a tremendous amount of gratitude that we owe it to Miriam HaNeviah for that. And it can teach us this lesson in our life, that there are so many things in our life that we don't recognize, we don't appreciate. We don't see how meaningful and important they are because they're so subtle. And my bracha is that in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be able to zone in on those things. Especially now, as we're leaving this time period, Yirtzeh Hashem, very soon we will be completely out of it, of the COVID pandemic. And we think about all the things in life that we took for granted, that we didn't think about how natural and important they were to our life because they were so subtle. Who would have thought how much we could appreciate someone's smile and how jarring it was to us when we couldn't see that smile? It's about appreciating those things before they disappear. It's about appreciating Miriam HaNeviah for what she is before the water, our life source, is gone. So Yirtzeh Hashem, may we be able to pick up on these subtleties in our life, appreciate them, take advantage of them, and allow them to truly sustain us and help us to become greater, more appreciative people. Thank you so much for joining today. You're welcome to unmute with any questions.